Yes, Zacharias' son, Zerubbabel, and said, peace be upon his descendants. That is the descendants of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmaeen, who are the stars of guidance and the propagators of the Quran, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. We are discussing Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmaeen, and various points we are bringing out. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmaeen, as stated previously, are not innocent. But when they committed an error, they pleaded before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cried before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. And they should come before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating that they have committed so and so sin, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the execute punishment of hudud, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other point we have brought out, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmaeen, that if at some time they worked against Islam, upon becoming Muslims, they worked double hard. In fact, they worked to such an extent, their good outweighed their bad actions. That is, their bad actions before they accepted Islam. And you and I know, according to Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that once a person becomes a Muslim, all his actions before that are done and void, are not accountable. Islam makes a person pure like a newborn baby. For example, we will take Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. In the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that certain archers were there on the path. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instruction that was that they must stand there. The battle took place. Those Sahaba who were standing at the pass, when they saw the Sahaba's winning and the enemy retreating, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they made a decisive error which caused the Muslims a temporary defeat in the Battle of Uhud, as explained in the Quran. Now, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, they left their mountain pass. Some of them left their mountain pass and they came down. They said that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they interpreted his words like this, that when we are winning and when the battle is over and when you feel it safe, then you can come down. Other Sahaba felt, no, Rasulullah's last instruction is that we must stay here, come what may. Nevertheless, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala at that time was fighting against the Muslims. He saw that the archers moved the place there. And he maneuvered the whole Kufar army, part of the Kufar army, there or through the mountain pass, and he came down the mountain pass and they ambushed the Muslims. Because the enemy, the Kufar, were retreating, the Muslims were pursuing them. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala came from the back like this and he jabbed the Muslims. So the Muslims were in between the Kufar who were retreating and Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmaeen was coming from the back. Subsequently, Hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to whomsoever he pleases. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, he stated that he fought so much and he should always say that he would like to die and he should like to be martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he became so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conferred upon him the title of Saifullah, that he is the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is one of the swords from the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is reported that when he was passing away, he was wailing and he was saying that it should have been better for me to be out on a cold night fighting the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till you will be killed. And he was saying that it is pity that he is today passing away on his bed. Ulama Ikram explained the wisdom that why Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not martyred in battle. Because he took part in many battles. For example, during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were two lieutenants who were very prominent. One was Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and one was Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. During the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you must remember that Hazrat Umar did not go out of Medina. He just remained there, and he was able to supervise, control, and he was able to maintain, and the Islam spread most during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, although he never moved out from his place. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid Ulama say that he did not pass away, get martyred in the battlefield, because of the title Rasulullah SAW gave him, that he is a sword from the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if he passed away in the battlefield, that means a debt should have come onto the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not possible. That the words of Rasulullah SAW can never be. That Rasulullah SAW gave the title that he is a sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that this sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always victorious. That this sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be defeated. That this sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always sharp, and the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no dent in it. This sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no one will be able to kill. Ulama Ikram have stated that that is why he passed away on the bed and not on the battlefield. One point I want to make here, and we'll pursue with our discussion. That Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala taught by Rasulullah SAW had what quality? That for example, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he was majorly responsible for the temporary defeat of the Muslims in Uhud. But when he became a Muslim, then the people did not hold it against him. The Muslims did not hold this against him. They did not grudge him for this. They did not say that he caused our defeat and he is not a good man and hold this inner feeling in him. They accepted him and he was able to progress within them. This quality we lack. For example, a person that he may, due to some reason, we are al-insanu murakkabun bil khata wal isyan, that a man is composed of, that is made up of forgetfulness, of mistaken forgetfulness. And we at times we sin. And some, unfortunately, are involved in major sins. Some are involved in terrible sins. But when that person begins to reform, when that person begins to change, then our duty is to help him to change. Our duty is to bring him and to hold him properly, because he's valuable. He's got the kalima in him. And he is one who is going to go to Jannat, inshallah. We must help him to reform. And we must not have this attitude in us, that, oh, he was a so-and-so. He was a cheat, or he was daku, or he was murderer, or he was a rogue, or he did so many people down, or he was dealing in interest, or he did this and he did this. But then if that person decides to become a good person, and now he is conforming to the Sharia, then you look at his 100 faults and then you look at him. What right have we got to look at that person's 100 faults and then look at him? Oh, he was being alcoholic, and he was being taking drugs, and he was pushing drugs, and he became billionaire by metrics, and he did that and the other. We don't look at our own selves first. We must look at our own selves and then help that person. And then also, that person must be given enough opportunity to become what he wants to become in the society. If he wants to become a respectable position in the society, that respectable position in the society does not mean by money and by position and by power and by force, but by good character, righteousness and piety. Inshallah, we'll pursue that discussion next week. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is our ninth lesson. And I explained what principle that why we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and then we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the principle was very simple, that removal of a danger is given preference over obtaining benefit. And I told you that in this age, the Tabligh Jamaat uses this principle alone. And that is why we come across another masala called Tark Baratin. What to do with? And to give first preference to those things which are important. For example, as I gave you one illustration, that if you are reading Salat and you see a blind person going towards a well, then you break your Salat and you help that person, otherwise he's going to fall there and lose his life. Similarly, now, the greater the danger, the greater the effort must be to stop the danger from taking place. The greater the danger, the greater, shall we say, the noise. The greater the danger, the difficulty, the greater the effort must be to remove the difficulty and the problem. For example, a person is walking on the road, is crossing the road, and there is a car coming to knock him. And he is a very respectable person of the society, or the locality. Now you won't stand there and start giving him a good, sweet, eloquent bayan that, listen, there is a car coming, it's going to knock you, and you are going to possibly die. You're not going to do all that. You're going to make a big noise about the whole issue, and you are going to shout to him, watch out for the car, and you are going to shout on top of your voice. And you are not going to worry about, you know, his position and what his respect we're supposed to show to him, etc. You are going to worry about his life now. And because of that problem and difficulty, you are going to make a very big noise. Why are you going to make the noise? Because the danger is so great. Similarly, alhamdulillah, the Tabligh Jamaat uses the same policy. That man requires hidayat. And man requires the fikr of the akhirat. Concern for the hereafter. Concern for the hereafter in this way, that a person, once he realizes and once he takes cognizance of this fact that I'll have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically he'll behave well. You see, a person has fear that I'll stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he has this fear that I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah his transaction, his dealing, his word, his deed, all will be in conformity to the Sharia, because he knows one day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question that, did you exploit, did you cheat, did you tyrannize, did you oppress, did you suppress, did you rob, did you underpay? All these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question him. So what does he do? He behaves according to the Sharia now, so that on the day of judgment he is not embarrassed and he is not put into the fire of hell. This figure of the hereafter is a great concern. And hidayat, that is our effort. And that's supposed to be the effort of everybody. The calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ عَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ عَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَدِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا عَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That says, this is my path. And what is the path that I call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I, those who follow me, call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is pure, and I am not among those who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the duty of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we must give preference to the calling of to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the figure of the Jamaat is, the Tabligh Jamaat, that we must tell the brothers, and must inform them of the figure of the Akhirat, and inform them and keep reminding them that hidayat is essential. And that is why in Surah Fatiha, the dua is made for hidayat. And the constant dua is made for hidayat, and we do it all times in our namaz. So important is the call and the need for hidayat, that we have to do it so regularly. So the Tabligh Jamaat uses the same policy, that because of the danger, because of the removal of the danger, we give it preference in order then to get benefit. Benefit, for example, a person says, no, I want to make only Tabligh Jamaat, or I only want to make zikr of Quran, zikr, or I only want to make Quran tilawat, or I want to sit at home. And then in this age here, unfortunately, you will notice that the Muslim, he, because of his pitiful state and spiritual level is low and iman is weak, that he will do 101 other things besides coming to the masjid, let alone Nafil Salat or zikr or Quran tilawat. He will do all the other things. But when you tell him that he was made fickle for the hereafter, or you tell him he was made fickle for Hidayat, then he says, he starts questioning it and worrying about it. Make it fickle, why must I do it? So, the Tablighat used the same policy as it was explained by A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, comes before Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Here, as I told you, that after stating A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, one leaves the cobweb laid down by Shaitan and goes to the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The discussion arises here, is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim part of the surah or not? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that it is not part of the surah, and only in surah Dabal. That is when Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he invites Bilqis, who was the ruler of a state, of a country, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam came to know of that via his informant, via his informer, that there is a nation ruled by a lady. Ruled by a lady, and they prostrate before the sun, etc. So, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam wrote to Bilqis, and when he wrote to Bilqis, he used the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of the Quran. And while we added a little diversion, then, but I'll explain sometime in detail, maybe on the Jummah or even in this lesson, that according to Islam, a lady, a woman, must not become the Prime Minister. A woman must not become the President. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, in this incident also, the incident of Sulaiman Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is reported, commented on it and said, and the hadiths which I will quote you are from Bukhari, Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawud and Nasa'i Sharif. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that no country is successful with a woman as it is. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one Sahabi informed him that the people of Persia want to bring the daughter of Qaisar as their leader. This is the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people of Persia wanted to bring the daughter of Qaisar into power as a ruler. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked that no country can be successful with the woman at the head. See, there are two things. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, stated that when women begin to rule you, then it is better for you to be under the earth than above the earth. It is better for you to be under the earth than above the earth. Meaning, yeah, two things that we should be shameful. That yeah is, and concerning woman, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that she is darkness al-aql and darkness al-deen. That she is not perfect with intelligence and she is not complete in deen. Both I will explain to you soon. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said that it is better for you to be under the earth, meaning that you should do something about it, you should revolt. And this is what the people of Pakistan should do. That they should revolt. And this is what the ulama are trying to do in Pakistan at the moment. And this has all resulted because of the same thing. The lack of Iman, the weakness of Iman, and the effort of Iman is not there. So when you tell the person, listen, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the woman must not become ruler, and in which state is ruled by the woman, if not successful, the person does not affect, it does not affect the person because his Iman is not ready to accept it. But if his Iman is ready, then you put the hadith in front, he'll accept immediately, you won't vote for it. Presently, unfortunately, people of Pakistan are very happy that, oh, we are very proud that after so many hundreds of years or so many years now, that we got a woman to. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the person should revolt. And in the process of revolt, if he has to go under the earth, he'll get martyred. Obviously, then he go under the earth, then it is better for him to be there than working on the earth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for example, she is not perfect to be a woman. For example, when she gets a menstruation, she cannot read Quran, she cannot keep Rosa, she cannot read Salah, she cannot go and make Tawaf, because in Masjid al-Haram, is in the Kaaba is in the Masjid Haram, and if she has to make tawaf, she has to go into the Masjid, and if she got menstruation, she cannot go into the Masjid, and as a result, she cannot make tawaf. So all these things are her shortcomings. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that she is Naqisul Aql, and the Sharia has given a clear categorical proof, crystal clear regarding that, that when there is evidence given and testimony taken, then there has to be two women compared to one man. Two women compared to one man. Why? Because according to Sharia and according to Islam, and we believe in this, that the woman, her memory is failing most of the time, and even the, according to anatomy and biology and sociology and psychology, that the woman has got more sentimental feelings and her reflex actions are not so quick, and even driving. For example, driving too, if she has to meet an accident, then you will see she behaves very strangely. Why? Because she is not meant to do what she is doing driving. The Arabs are generally liberal in their fatwas. The Arabs are generally liberal, but surprisingly enough, for example, their chief justice at the moment is one person called Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Bas. And he stated that woman to drive in this age is makruh tahrim, is near haram. And he gave the reason was that because she, her place is not the street, her place is at the jannah. Well, inshallah, I'll discuss to you why it is makruh tahrim in some other way. Basically, a woman cannot become a ruler of a state. Now, there is one thing called Imamat al Kubra and one thing called Imamat al Sughra. Imamat al-Kubra is what we're talking about, Prime Minister, President, and Member of Parliament, or Foreign Minister. These things, why? One of the reasons, for example, Imam Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi gives in his tafsir, that all these things will want the woman to come out of her house and these people, and the hijab, the parda, which is compulsory, will have to be broken. Can you imagine a Foreign Minister going around and not meeting people? So the Foreign Minister will have to go and meet people, the Prime Minister, President, all these things. So according to Sharia, she cannot even become a Qazi, a judge also. Then Imamat al-Sughra refers to, for example, a woman, she does not make Imamat. You ever saw a woman making Imamat of men? Women do not make Imamat. And the Shi'ar of Islam, what we call chief characteristics of Islam, or chief symbols of Islam, azan. The woman does not give azan. Iqamat, woman does not give all that. So the azan, iqamat, leading the salat, the woman does not always do all that. Then also in the virat, in the inheritance, the woman gets far less than the man. So all these things are factors concerning the woman and sharing the woman that she has got a place, and she has got a place that is the house. And the house is important for the woman, that is why Sharia says that she cannot become Prime Minister and President, etc., and go around with this. And she is not intelligent enough to carry all these things out. May Allah Ta'ala grant those Pakistanis who died, because they do not know what they do. The Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to Hazrat Abu Dawud, this is a hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not know when a surah entered until Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was revealed to him by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Then when Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was revealed to him, then he knew that there is a difference here. That this is one surah has entered and here another surah started. And the hadith is clear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa salam did not know when the surah ended until Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam recited Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And when he recited Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew the surah ended. Maulana Idris Khandani rahimahullah alayhi states another proof that he says in most Quranic Kareem to notice that the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is written between two thick lines. And because it is written between two thick lines, stating and denoting that this is not part of the surah. The point that I want to make for, and the point I want to explain is very simple. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allahul Ghuyub. He is the knower of the unseen. And He alone is the knower of the unseen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the knower of the unseen. He does not know in total about the unseen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, in this hadith it is stated clearly that he did not know. He did not know the end of the surah. Unfortunately, certain people say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got the knowledge of the unseen. So we say that this hadith also shows us that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have the knowledge of the unseen. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the knowledge of the unseen, then the whole of Islam will become a big drama. Because the Miraj will not become meaningful, the Hijrat will not become meaningful, and the battles will not become meaningful, then why would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to Ta'if? If, for example, you know that if I go to Johannesburg today, they are going to hit me today, or they are going to persecute me today, or they are going to shoot at me today, will you go there? You won't go there. Because someone informed you that, listen, if you go there, then this is going to happen to you. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people who say that he's got knowledge of the unseen, then how will you answer this? Then why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif when he fully well knew that they are going to throw stones at him and they are going to spill his blood? Then why will he go there? No person in his senses will go to a place where he fully knows they are going to hit him to such an extent that his shoes or his sandals are going to be clogged with blood. So you are trying to say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif fully knowing that he is going to be beaten with stones and after that blood is going to come out. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one journey, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, her necklace got misled. Her necklace got misled. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perturbed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know where the necklace was. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, to this extent, came to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he is the father of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then when he came to be Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she misled the necklace, then he was hitting her, or shall we say he was tapping her on the side here. And he was tapping her while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha's leg. And he was not pushing her to her because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to get her. And then the necklace was under the foot of a camel. The irons of tayammum had to come down. Why? Because they had to stay there and look for that necklace. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited there to such an extent that about time came, they had no water, they had to make tayammum. Now what we say, that because of the stages of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the whole journey was delayed, and because of her, alhamdulillah, the Ummah is blessed with tayammum. That when we got no water, we make tayammum, and due to the barakat of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, in losing her necklace. Point is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be informed that the necklace is under the camel's foot. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many incidents he stated that he does not know. For example, when he came into Medina, and then he told the people that what they were doing, they were farming dates. So what they should do, they should cross those dates. Now the agriculturists and the farmers know that better. At certain times in plantation, you have to cross those seeds or those plants. So what they were doing, they were crossing plants. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, don't do that. Don't cross that. And the next year the crops came. And they came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the crops have failed. And if we, inshallah, if we cross those grain seeds again, then inshallah the crops won't fail. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that you know about the affairs of the world more than this. Cross them. So the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in began to cross them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many times he, for example, made the salat al janaza of that hypocrite. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not happy about that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, then the ayat of the Quran Kareem came down. saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not make the salat al janaza. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the knowledge of the unseen, then he will just walk out of the house in Mecca, from Mecca and going to Medina. And that will become a whole drama, because he will know that no one is going to catch him and no one is going to apprehend him. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the knowledge of the unseen, then when the Meccans were pursuing him and he was in the cave with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became afraid for the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the enemy came right near the cave and the spider made a cobweb and the pigeons laid some eggs, is making it known to the, giving the impression, a strong impression to the kuffar, that there is no one in the cave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He did not say, Hazrat Abu Bakr, I got the knowledge of the unseen, don't worry, they'll come here, they'll go. But what did he say? La tahzan illa Allah ma'ana. That do not grieve, do not be afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us.